And welcome back to the Broke Blurb Pod. I'm yours, Anthony K. Savage, a.k.a. Voice, a.k.a. Savage Voice, a.k.a. Antonio Savage. And today on the podcast, we're going to review episode 3 of She-Hulk Attorney at Law. I almost called it issue number 3. good episode. We're going to get into it. Going to do a rundown. Got a few points I like, a few points I may not necessarily like, but we'll get into it very soon.
So it starts. The saga begins, niggas. The saga begins, niggas. I'd like to welcome you to a collection of thoughts, observations, and concepts. They say that art imitates life. I just think life is art.
All right, everybody, let's get down to brass tacks. All right, so this episode, there's a few caveats I want to put in front of it. The first episode of the series, where they go and she does the training with Bruce Banner, Smart Hulk, Professor Hulk, that technically, when they first made the series, was planned to be towards the end, and then they decided to put it in at the front. And while listening to one of the podcasts that I listened to, Fat Man on Batman, Mark Bernardin, pointed out that the way that the story structure is basically going, more than likely, what happened is episode number 2 and number 3 were more likely all episode 1 of the pilot, but they had to make room, so they kind of pushed it a little bit forward, which is why the pacing and the story, you know, is how it is. So this episode, by those standards, is kind of more of an episode 2, but release episode 3. I gotta say, I like it. I'm still liking it. I have no problem watching the show. But in some parts, weaker than the previous two, in my personal opinion. Other parts, definitely stronger, giving me aspects of the show which I didn't think it was. Some of my preconceived notions about what was going to happen or what was going on was completely wrong, which I actually like that, because I can't predict what's happening, which is pretty good. So we're going to just get started to it. They did it before, you know, previously on. We all know what happened. If not, go back, listen to the previous two podcasts. And Jennifer Walters is walking to the prison to talk to Emil Blonsky, a.k.a. the Abomination. In the previous episode, if you remember, she had just found out that he had escaped prison and was fighting with Wong, as you saw in the Shang-Chi movie. And so she's going to question him and everything. And now they're answering questions that, you know, honestly, in the last episode, they kind of answered. And they're also answering questions that we never really, like, no one ever really knew why Wong had broken into the prison, or why, you know, the Abomination was allowed to fight with him. So apparently, what happened was Wong came and forced Blonsky, the Abomination, to fight with him in the Kumite. And it was some type of test to become the Sorcerer Supreme, apparently. He didn't really get too much into it, but that was the reasoning why. And, you know, this the thing you have to remember about the show, and I want you to take into account in comparison to pretty much every other Marvel property, is that this is, for the most part, it's a sitcom. The closest I think you would have even remotely to that would have been WandaVision. And not necessarily the show itself, but certain episodes of the show followed the, you know, they specifically mimicked different TV show sitcoms back in the day as it first started, became something more. And this is not really that, because her breaking the fourth wall, which once again, people constantly comment that, you know, Daredevil did it, whatever. She-Hulk, comic book wise, breaking the fourth wall long before Daredevil. But that's neither here nor there. But speaking of breaking the fourth wall, at the beginning of the episode, Jen Walters is in her car. She just finished talking to the Abomination. She's talking to a paralegal who's trying to track down Wong, and paralegal makes some comments about sending him a thirst trap or something to contact him, because he has very little, Wong has very little internet presence. Besides, he's like, he's either a Social Supreme in New York, or he's a librarian in some place called Camertosh, which is where the temple is. But she's, you know, she needs him. She needs his testimony to prove that Blonsky, you know, isn't responsible for breaking out of prison. And he did return to prison. Now, one of the surprises, which I don't mind, is she's driving and she breaks the fourth wall immediately and kind of is like, you know, I know you can't wait to see Wong, you know, I get it. But I want to make sure that you don't think that this is one of those cameos every week type of shows, because it's not. And then she points out, you know, it's just Wong this week. And then last week, you know, Blonsky, and the time before that, the, you know, the Incredible Hulk. But, you know, it's not going to be a every type of week type of thing, which whether it is or not, in all honesty, one thing I will give about this particular episode is they're kind of attacking, not so much attacking, but, you know, one of the things they say, you know, with, you know, the best way to handle bullies is, you know, they'll be a little bit self-deprecating, get to the jokes before they can get to it, and then it takes all their power away. And that's kind of something that they're doing in this episode, is you're kind of pointing out some of the things that people would be saying, and this is one of those things. And there's some other things that I think they tried to get ahead of, but at the same time, I think them getting ahead of it may have shot themselves in the foot. And when we get to those things, I will explain them in more detail. Like, start out, so she goes through that, and she's wearing, you know, a comically too big suit, as she has been in previous episodes, except this is a little bit more than that. Now, one of the things, you know, they start off with, you know, different news shows saying that she's representing the Abomination and things like that, and, you know, all the different news shows, you know, what's this all about? And, you know, you got the entertainment shows, and Jennifer Walters' super alter ego is She-Hulk, and, you know, what's going on there? Public backlash, you know, just news, you know, how the news cycle is. Even have, like, you know, Spanish news, you know, talking about her, you know, the giant green woman, and no, it's all right. It's kind of the way world. But then they go to, here's one of the parts where I was referring to, of them kind of getting ahead of, you know, the internet, where, you know, guy is like, what did he say? Where a guy is, you know, I don't know if he's interviewing or just doing a, you know, a TikTok or something. I think that's kind of what they're trying to do there. And he's saying they took the Hulk's manhood away and gave it to a woman, which, here's the thing. Or in another, you know, like a Twitter post, why are you turning every superhero into a girl? No one asked for that. Why is everybody gotta be female? And the thing I find that is so funny about that is, one, I have a good feeling someone actually said that before the show came out, just being a regular Marvel, you know, movie, cinematic universe fan. And I'm pretty sure that somebody said that after the series came out and it's currently out. And we'll probably say it again without seeing the series and not realizing that, you know, She-Hulk is probably older than they are, as far as how long the character has been around. And you know, it's I like that they did that specifically because, you know, I'm a nerd, and the internet has a way of kind of doesn't necessarily put us in our best light, so to speak. We tend to, you know, we embody the troll, so to speak. Some of us do. And, you know, it takes away, you know, the fandom can be, I can only hope be successful enough in this podcasting endeavor that the trolls will come for me. I don't want you to, but maybe that's when I'll know I made it, when somebody's pissed off about something I said and or do. Don't want you to be, but that's how the world works. So anyway, you know, they're going through a bunch of TikToks and, you know, TikTok-like things, and still going through the news show, since in this day and age, kind of those things are mixed in. Now, they said in the beginning, the person who put him away, Dr. Gideon, I can't remember, and I don't think that's the same guy. I'm trying to think, there's a doctor in the Hulk universe who has green hair, and I don't think it's Dr. Gideon, because this guy is a black man, and nothing about him says he's that same character, but, you know, and I think he's supposed to be, you know, a lawyer or something, or district attorney or whatever. Anyway, so here is my gripe with this episode. A lot of people have been complaining about the CG, and like one of the shows that specifically I watch, which I understand what they mean now, specifically, Double Toasted. They do, you know, I don't know if it's a podcast, but they have like a YouTube podcast, definitely. Anyway, they mentioned, you know, they do movie reviews, so they actually got the first three episodes early, back before, right as the first episode was coming out. And, you know, they were not happy about the CG. And I thought the first episode of CG was good, second was decent. By the third one, it just seems like it's not good. It's noticeably not good. And I think one of the reasons is I have a feeling what they decided to do, which again I will go in further when we get later in the episode, is her suit. So okay, so she's wearing a suit, but it's not like, you know, air quotes, a female suit or a business, female business. Like, you know, it's not. It looks like even the CG of her wearing the suit is comically too big, which, whatever. I mean, like I said, later on, I think I know why they did that, but it's not looking good, and it's not helping anything because, you know, unlike the Incredible Hulk, they don't have as much to work with, so it kind of takes away. And I think what they were trying to do is tone down She-Hulk sexiness, which, fine, I understand the reason for that. You know, the character is, you know, what the character was, what the character is now, fine, you don't have to show her in her true, you know, full, you know, full figured, you know, a tight dress type stuff, that's fine, whatever, but it just doesn't look good. She is still a professional and a lawyer, and she can wear a regular suit or a suit that a woman would wear that's not necessarily a feminine suit, and it should look better than how she's wearing it. Like, they even have another lawyer come in. Like, okay, so to get into the story, basically she's called to the big boss's office, and one of their clients, which happens to be the district attorney dude that she worked with in the first episode, the douchebag dude, is suing somebody. Basically, he was duped by a Asgardian fairy shapeshifter who catfished as Megan Thee Stallion. And it actually took me a moment to realize they actually got Megan Thee Stallion for this episode. So good for them. Good for her. And basically, she got him to pay, like, basically took him for like $170,000, you know, and got her a car and everything. But to point out with the whole thing with the jacket, they ask another lawyer to come in, and this lawyer actually, I don't know, maybe she's being typecast because she's in another series, which maybe we might review. It's a little different speed, and it's called Evil on the Paramount Plus Network. But in that, she played the lawyer to the Vatican, or a lawyer to the Vatican, or a lawyer to the clergy, whatever have you. So she's, again, playing a lawyer, but she is in a dress, you know, it's not, you know, it's like striped, whatever, it's nothing too sexy or anything like that, but you could see it being in like a business environment. And then you put her next to She-Hulk, who's in a arguably a man's business suit, and you know, it just, it doesn't fit right, it doesn't look right, and it's kind of like you could go, okay, for story-wise, maybe she, you know, it's hard to find clothes in her size. However, what she wore, was wearing in the second episode and the first episode as She-Hulk looked better. And I don't even think it necessarily went too far in the super duper sexy aspect of things. But I think, again, I have a feeling of why it looks like this, which again, we'll get into later. So anyway, boss calls her in and is asking, you know, trying to get her to work on dude's case that she used to work with. And she's like, I really don't want to. He doesn't want to work with her either because they've worked together for years and he doesn't really want her in his business like this because he is embarrassed. And then, you know, that's when they call the other woman in. And like immediately he's like saying shit that's, it's not okay in the workplace. It's not okay in general. It's good for a TV show and a sitcom, but really, if you want to think it, good for you. No one's gonna police your thoughts, but yeah, not good. And then eventually they pass it off to Pugilisky. I don't know how to say his name, but they call him Pug. He takes the case, and again, that character, again, I think was played a major character in the Arrow series, and he's doing good here. I like what they're doing with him. So, you know, Jen Walters is kind of ragging on him, the fact that he thought that Megan Thee Stallion drove it a Passat, but, you know, fine, whatever. Like I said, the jokes, it's kind of falling short. Finally, Wong shows up just in time to save Jen from this cringy, embarrassing conversation and really bad CG of showing what she's wearing. Like I said, the biggest problem with the CG, like, okay, she walks away. So, okay, all right, I went to art school. One of the things they taught us in art school is specifically one of the differences when drawing women, per se, is that everybody, the way they walk, they have a certain gait about them, which, you know, the width of their hips and everything. How you draw a woman, the gait of a woman is different than the gait of a man. The way that the body's, the symmetry, they walk different. And she kind of walked out like a dopey teenager wearing his dad's suit with shoes that were too big. Like she's wearing like regular shoes. She's not wearing heels or anything like that. And like, it just looks like they last minute put something together. Got a really tall dude to wear a suit that's too big and then like CG'd over him what they needed. Why? Like, there's so many different ways they probably could have done this scene without showing the legs. You know, without showing as much of what looks bad as what looked like. They made a point to show her walking through the atrium, and it just doesn't look good. And I don't know why they chose to do that. Well, I think I have a feeling I know why they chose to do that, but I don't necessarily agree with it. And she's talking to Wong, and Wong basically says Bronski had nothing to do with it. He made him leave the prison because he needed a worthy opponent as a test to become Source Supreme, which I think is actually canon, not necessarily the Abomination aspect, but the whole test of Sorcerer Supreme. And I only vaguely remember that listening to another podcast, into Geek History, Lessons, I think is the name of the podcast. So I think that actually checks out. And she's like, great, you just need to come and do, you know, come and testify at, you know, the Abomination Blonsky's parole hearing. And he's like, all right. And so we're going to put the magic thing for Plan B. Okay, good. And touch his nose. She's like, okay, just don't touch your nose. Just come and testify. Everything will be okay. Okay, where were we? So Wong explained that Bronski wasn't responsible for anything that happened. Did the whole nose thing, you know. Trying to, you know, yeah, I get it. No, you know, I know. No, don't do the nose thing, she said. Then we fast forward. We're in the office. Now, this story is a little bit funny. Pudlisky Pug, he's doing the case with the district attorney dude who had the situation with the fake Megan Thee Stallion. And basically what happens is they're going through, I don't know, I'm going to say it's a deposition. I don't know the law term. But anyway, they're going through it. And he, you know, asking her, you know, what, how much did you spend, you know, $50,000, you know. Well, he was like, you know, you brought a mid-sized sedan, so like $50,000 is like higher. You didn't want to say it first higher. And he's like, $200,000? He's like, I'm not stupid. It's more like $175,000. And then eventually he leaves the office, and immediately after he leaves, so he leaves the office, and then Pug is looking up the information, and I think, you know, this is a little bit of foreshadowing, which I kind of wish they didn't do this, only because, I don't know, it telegraphed this part of the scene a little too much, where I think if they had not done that, the scene would have probably worked far better. Joke-wise, because he's looking at, you know, YouTube, I don't know if it was actually YouTube, he's, you know, looking on the internet, and it's a video of the elf, the Asgardian elf, changeling, shapeshifter, throwing somebody down as Megan Thee Stallion and immediately changing back to themselves. And then right after, the client, the guy he's representing, walks right back in, and it's obvious it's not him, because he's like, I want to drop the charges, you know, and so, you know, I've had a change of mind. And the only, it makes sense, because in the universe, if a person looks exactly like the person, then, you know, why would you think it's anybody but the person? But when you literally just saw a video of the shapeshifter acting like Megan Thee Stallion, specifically has to do with this particular guy, the second he walks in, walking completely different, automatically says, I don't want to drop the charges, da 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 da. You would, there's no reason for you not to know that it's like, literally, how, you know. But, and then, you know, they're talking, and something happens where, let me see, something happens where he decides, or realizes finally, that it's not him. Oh, yeah. He gets a call from the guy who it actually is about his car. And that's when he realizes, you know, call security. And immediately, the elf walks out and is like, yeah, I'm very inappropriate. I like to harass women. Everybody knows I like to harass women. And he's like, not cool, man, not cool. You guys know me. Which, again, it was a little too obvious. Like, they didn't, this is a sitcom, so the jokes are, you know, they can be really good or really manufactured. And it's, to me, it kind of feels like, at least with this episode, a lot of things that they're holding back. And I'll further explain later in the episode why I believe they're holding back, or why I think they're holding back, or why I think that. But next scene, they're at the prison, and there's a bunch of news reporters in the front, and I like this scene, but at the same time, it also, you know, kind of triggers me a bit, especially if you've heard any of my previous episodes, you'll kind of understand why. But there's a new scene, and Jennifer Walters is walking in, and this is the prison, and they're about to have the release, for what's his name, the parole board. And so the one reporter's sitting there, and she's like, yeah, Jennifer Walters is coming in, and she's coming in, and another paparazzi dude was like, is it true that you didn't make it on the Avengers? And he's like, and then immediately go back to the other news reporter, and she's like, Jennifer's Walter in rumored to have been rejected from the Avengers. And it's just like, yeah, it's very funny how you did that, but that really, that's annoying, because that's probably how it goes. It's exactly like that. And, they're going in, and basically, they come down and have a thing, and Wong is late. Wong should have been there already, but because of the story, he's not. And you see the, so last episode, I made a comment about he has 7 soulmates. I thought maybe it was hinting that Bronski was, you know, this is a way in for the Thunderbolts. No, waiting outside of, you know, looking, you know, in the observatory section, looking in, are 7 like women, kind of like you would think a cult, like a, you know, white and flowers in their hair, and his 7 soulmates are actually his 7 soulmates. So that's, I gotta give them points for that, because like I said, I was thinking, oh, that they're setting up for Thunderbolts, he's speaking in code. No, there's actual 7 soulmates. But anyway, pretty much Wong is all they need, and Wong is not there, so she's got to kind of stretch for time. Jennifer Walters has to stretch for time in order to, get things on track, and because they're about ready to be like, well, we got the video, so I mean, everything else you did was great. You know, they spoke to different guards and everybody about what happened, you know, how he was a prisoner. He's a model prisoner, and for all intents and purposes, other than the sake of the story and what it is, and you thinking, well, this, he has to be setting something up, like I was, he is a model prisoner, to the extent that he's helped several guards, several inmates. Like, by all accounts, he's either really good or he's setting something up. And then eventually, you know, he helped a guard with his marriage. He made the library like something, you know, worthwhile for an institution of learning, what have you, for a prison. He instead of toilet wine, the prisoners make toilet kombucha, which again, yes, okay, see what they're doing there, but you know, two different levels. On like, if you're gonna go this route, you go all the way, and I don't think they went all the way. You know, they kind of like they kind of got almost towards heading to the edge, and like veered off way too soon. It's like playing chicken, but they didn't wait far enough before they turned, and you know, see what they're doing. It's decent enough, but you know, whatever. And then eventually, last minute, Wong shows up, and it's actually funny, because at the very beginning, which I think they maybe should have held this joke till now when he just walks in thinking about it, because she said it as soon as she came in, when she realized Wong wasn't there. And you know, she was like, you know, guy who has no time and space is nothing to him, and he still can't be on time, or something along those lines. And that would have kind of fit in right here when Wong finally shows up. But basically, Wong just goes, yeah, you know, it wasn't his fault. It was me. I pretty much gave him no choice. I gave him no choice to leave, but it was his choice to come back because I said he could stay. And, you know, they're like, all right, but the problem is he could still transform, da 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 da. And at one point, so, okay, we got to back, well, not backtrack, but then we switch over to the B story of, you know, the Megan Thee Stallion thing. And this is actually the, you know, when you go to court and they see if you're actually, if there's going to be a trial, the you know, preliminary court thingy, I don't know. I don't know. It's thinking about this episode, in all honesty, it's a decent episode, but it's not an episode that really makes you go. But you know, basically the, and here's the thing, the elf, she's like, I'm an Asgardian, you know, what do you call it? Diplomatic immunity, yada yada yada. And of course, like, I don't care. And you know, they're playing it very cool. Okay, so here is one definite plus I'll give for the episode. I'm sorry if I'm going all over the place. Just this particular episode for me fell short compared to the other episodes. Like the previous episodes, and even with everything everybody complained about, this is kind of where, for me, any complaints would really come in. But one of the things I will give them credit for is they seem to be doing some court stuff. You know, they a lot of people thought they were never going to really be in the court. It's going to be a sitcom and everything, but the court. The court is just kind of the background, but they're actually getting some court stuff in, though. They're saying that the whole Megan Thee Stallion thing, and it's kind of a bit of a role play thing. And there's no way that he would not have known that she was Megan Thee Stallion. And, you know, that's the place where they're going to go. You know, the judge's like, I don't care for the most part, but this is actually enough. Like, even though I don't believe there's any way you would think that that is who this person was, they bring up enough evidence. We're like, but we will have the actual trial and you'll get to prove, you know, that your client didn't know who it was. And before they leave, now here's the thing, before they leave, the freaking elf, changeling elf, comes back in as the judge, the same gag, which is a little funnier this time, but even more preposterous of, you know, I changed my mind, we're not going to have a, you know, actual trial. And, you know, their own lawyer is like, standing like, that's illegal. You cannot do that. Get down now. Which for me, I don't know, maybe it's an elf thing, maybe it's an Asgardian thing. I personally think as a black man myself, that's it. I'm done. I'm going to jail from that point. So, but you know, divvy. Then they're back with the you know, Blonsky, you know, the abomination, with his parole board, and they're going through it, and he's like, you know, the problem is he can change at any time and have no control. And Bronski's like, oh, okay, well, and he takes off his shoes and everything, and he proceeds to transform into the abomination. Now, excuse me, there's a couple, there's some thoughts I have here, because on one hand, I'm like, all right, kind of makes sense, and on the other hand, it doesn't make sense, because he's transforming to, him transforming to Abomination, actually, I think is the smartest thing, because it's like, transforms, and he's completely calm in himself, and has full control, and just picks up his little tiny little prison croc shoes, and he's just like, kind of like, yeah, I'm in control, see, but the freaking parole board is freaking out, and he's behind, like, a force field, which I guess is supposed to keep his powers from working, and all the guards rush in, and this one parole lady on the board, she's screaming, and they're scared at the same time, and it's like, okay, yes, in the real world, dude, just like transform into a monster, you would be scared. But they don't, you know, every time you show him, they're like staring directly at him. And when he's growing, he's like, he's not moving. And other than him turning into the giant monster that is the Abomination, he's not doing anything threatening. Even his whole like posture, standing, his demeanor, because he's in the thing and he has to, you know, he's so tall, he has to kind of hunch down. Why are you screaming? What do you like? Fight or flight doesn't work like that. Like, you can just be screaming like that. That's makes no sense. But he's like, you know, I could have left, you know. Jen makes it, she's like, see, that proves it. Like, I'm sorry, he didn't mean to scare you. He wasn't trying to scare you. Even Wong's are like, calm down, there's no need for force. Like, I didn't mean to scare you. He's like, but it just shows. Sorry about that, folks. He's like, it just shows that not only could my client have escaped, you know, he chose to come back, and he actually could have escaped. This stuff is not even doing anything. He decided to stay here and serve his time. And they convene for like a recess, and some time goes by, and you know, obviously she's leaving the trial, and you know, you got the paparazzi nagging her, and her friend is kind of, you know, she's like, I can't wait till this is done. And she's like, this is not, there's not going to be any done. Dobrowski is not the only reason why you're like front page news. It's like, you can change back and forth however you want, but you're the story. That's it. You know, there's stories about her and Blonsky having a kid, illegitimate child. And so, again, I'm going to give him a point. She's breaking the fourth wall, which, again, there's a lot of people debating. But, again, she did it first. It was a major part of that comic that they're taking it from. So she's doing it here. And these, I'm actually liking when she does it. I'm liking that consistency going on. And pointing out, like, they point... The reason I like this episode is because what they're doing that compensates for where I think they're failing is that they're pointing out some obvious criticisms or things you have. Like, she leans in just now as Pug comes into the bar, and she's like, connecting the A and B stories. And she's, you know, Pug is talking to Jen, because Jen used to work with the guy, and she's like, he's such a douche, he's so full of himself. And she's like, he asked her about it. She's like, yeah, the man is terminally deluded. I'd call him gross. And he has an idea. He's like, will you testify in court? So they go the next day, and she swears in. And she goes to the court. She's about to tell the truth, all truth, nothing but the truth. And he stands up, and he's like, sure, this is going to work, you know, it's going to work perfectly. Hey, Miss Walters, how would you describe your relationship with Mr. Blonsky? And he's like, well, we worked together for many years in the DA's office. Okay. You say you know him fairly well. Yep. Work regularly cases together. And he's like, she's like, I spent a lot of time with him. And he's like, how would, you know, did you ever share his personal dating life? She's like, yeah, way more than I ever wanted. Ever. I did not want that information, and he gave it freely. So she's like, would you characterize self-absorbed, chauvinistic, conceited? He once called himself a New York 10 and an LA 11. And, you know, just saying that, whether you are or not, which I wouldn't say this guy is. And even the judge is like, okay, you know, because it's basically coming to insult him. He's like, you know who your client is, right? He's like, yeah. And basically, he's like, the main point is that he is so conceited and full of himself that, yes, he would believe that he got Megan Thee Stallion. And in his defense, just from a basic level of a shapeshifter acting like a person, even if everything else does not fit in, because this person looks exactly like that person, where you know it's that person, if people will believe what they want to believe, and this type of person who's chauvinistic and a douche would very much easily believe it. So judge goes and rules in his favor, And then also, so the damages have to be paid back, as well as he tells the elf that she's going to have like 7 months in prison for impersonating a judge, which I'm glad that was paid off somewhat, because I'm like I said, as a black man, I would have been in jail. They go back and they agree to release Blonsky, but he can never change back into the abomination again, or he will go to jail, which obviously he's going to at some point in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They have the model, they're going to use it again, he'll go back to jail. But it'll probably be saving somebody's life or something, and we'll see how that goes. So in the comics, the way that this generally, well, this works out as far as the character, or maybe part of her character, which arguably this is the beginning of the character versus the story I read, character's been established for generations. She's always She-Hulk in the comics. Like, that's who she is. And when in the comic I read, when she has to turn back into Jennifer Walters, it feels foreign to her because, you know, She-Hulk's this big extroverted, just by her nature, an extroverted character, person, woman. And Jen Walters, whether she is that naturally, you know, because all the Hulk is the parts that are on the inside let out on the outside. But Jennifer Walters, on her outside, she looks, you know, nothing wrong with her. Beautiful woman, but a lot more meek and reserved, and could fall more into the background. But she decides to be the story, since she's going to be the story, and do it on her own terms. And she goes in a news thing as She-Hulk, and she's talking to one of the reporters, and he asks her, you know, She-Hulk, how'd you come with She-Hulk? And he's like, actually, some douchebag reporter came up with it. And I'm pretty sure he was the douchebag reporter who came up with it, and everybody started going with it. But she said, you know, it stuck, whatever, and, you know, they're like, nah, I'm forever She-Hulk. And, you know, then they're like, when we come back, She-Hulk will be sharing her diet and exercise secrets. And she's like, wait, what? Which, again, I like they're kind of going towards that route where she's able to have more of the common sense of things. Now, okay, so there's really no reason to put this in the episode. I like that they put in the episode. She's parking a car and walking kind of, not really an alley. And dude comes from behind and grabs her, and she starts screaming. She's like, oh my God, oh my God. And then she's like, wait a second. Oh yeah, I don't have to do this stupid shit. And she transforms into She-Hulk. And I like this because the group that this is supposed to be, which they're, I don't know, in the comic, they have their moments, but they're kind of not necessarily drawn the way that they appear here, but the how they are as far as other superheroes are sometimes concerned, specifically the comic guy I read, Tony Stark, not so much a joke, but they're not, you know, they're C-class villains. It's the Wrecking Crew. And, you know, she transforms into She-Hulk, and she just, now the thing with the Wrecking Crew, from what I know, their story is, and it varies depending, basically they have, I know there's one dude specifically has a crowbar, which is kind of like an enchanted crowbar. Like, think Thor's hammer is enchanted, where they have all these different things. One guy has a crowbar. One guy has like a hard hat. Another guy has like these gloves or armband or whatever. One guy has an actual, it's not a wrecking ball type mace, cudgel type thing. And, you know, these guys are moving all around. One guy with the helmet so much looks like Pete Davidson, which it would have been, they should just get Pete Davidson. If they are going to expand these characters, replace this dude with Pete Davidson, it'll work perfect. Even though he was technically already in Guardians of the Galaxy, but still, like, literally this guy looks like Pete Davidson. But she's like, all right, they go to attack her, and she just pretty much just beats the crap out of these guys. They can't really do anything to her. And basically what they're trying to do is to get her blood. And it doesn't work because, you know, can't break her skin. She takes the one guy and knocks his... What I'm trying to say is they should be dead. Like, you know, people joke that Batman puts, you know, he doesn't kill. He just literally, like, cripples people and everything like that. Yeah, these guys, they should not... She tosses a guy in, he falls down almost on his head. Like, his collarbone, at the very least, is broken. But they get in the car and they run away, where not how that would work at all. Like, literally, she's not the Hulk, she's a Hulk, and the ass whooping that she just gave them, that they show, it was substantial. They should not be walking away, period. And show credits, they're showing the drawings, and again, artwork here as an artist, love it. But the big part, the part that everybody has been talking about and can't shut up about, which, okay, so, button on the episode is she's in the court and she signed a deal to represent Megan Thee Stallion. And she's like, so, you know, boss outside the big boss is working, and she's fucking... And She-Hulk, okay, so She-Hulk is twerking, which, and everybody's like, has an issue with this, whatever, and she's like, she's way more fun than my last lawyer. She's like, I will kill for you, Megan Thee Stallion. And she's like, dial it back. But here's the thing. So I have a few, the issues I have with this scene may or may not be the issues everybody else has. The issue I have with this scene is it feels like the reason why they dressed her in so much of the episode in that suit, and it's a CG suit, so they specifically made it look non-sexual at all whatsoever, in my opinion, to counterbalance the incredible sexual dancing nature of twerking. If you have issues with that, that's on you. I don't really care. I don't. But She-Hulk as a character is such a sexualized character that I think they're like, well, we need to dial it back. And they dialed it back too much. Okay? If they didn't, yeah, probably would have been more sexual. But they wanted to put that in so bad that they sacrificed some of the appeal of, like, everybody always makes these things about, appropriating culture and switching things up with different characters and stuff like that, or changing their sex or their race, whatever. And this is not that, but it kind of fits in, because my argument has always been, for me, it's not about race, it's more of the fact of, as an artist, they create a character, they have an image for the character, and it has less to do with sticking to the race to keep that image. It's more to just honor that image of what that person wanted. And for this, it's just what they did, they didn't honor the image of what they wanted the episode to be. They sacrificed part of the image of how it looked, and, you know, the overall feel. You see something that takes you out, it takes you out of the episode, which means it does not work well with the episode, which means the episode altogether, but that was the episode. That was episode three, She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. Yeah, I know. This one was a hard one, guys. I know. It took me a while to finish this. Bits and parts I like about the episode, but, you know, I think it's supposed to be an episode two, whatever, how they did it. But hopefully next episode will be better for me to talk about, and stay tuned, because I do plan on doing some other shows that I know I love. And this will probably, we're going to try to fill some days in. So you're going to get, eventually, you're going to get at least 2 episodes a week, possibly more. So in the meantime, I thank you all. Remember, don't tell yourself you can't do something. Ask yourself, why can't you do it?